Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone this morning, and Sally played that song this morning in memory of Charlie for his birthday, as that was his favorite song. And so that was in memory of Charlie this morning. We have one announcement that I'm aware of this morning. It's both on the back page of your bulletin, and you'll find details on the blue insert. We are collecting items for Honduras again, and those details are listed particularly on the blue insert. Are there announcements that we should make this morning that were not made? If not, it's a joy that the Lord has called us together, so let us gather and worship His most holy name. And loving Lord, we thank you that you are with us. So as we have gathered in your presence now, our hearts and minds are open, praying that you receive our thanksgiving and praise, praying that we receive that which you would communicate to us. And as we proceed, we do pray that this service is pleasing to your sight and hearing, and that it strengthens your people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our hymn of praise is, "Come Thou Almighty King." Let's stand as we sing.
As always, we do have our prayer list that is printed in the bulletin, highlighting a few this morning. You may remember, if you were here last week, that we remembered a nine-month-old baby, Lee Gay, as he was having surgery to have a kidney removed because of a tumor that was found on it. That surgery went very well. He is, to my knowledge, looking at future treatments. So do remember this little baby, his parents, and the rest of the family. Glad to report that some may not know, but last Wednesday, Ray Carolyn had a pacemaker installed, and he is doing well. And also, Eddie Shepherd had a couple of procedures, heart-related, last week, and he was in church this morning and doing well. And Pud and Pat asked that we remember Pat's sister in a very special way. She is undergoing some tests this coming week, and so remember her. Are there joys or concerns that should be voiced that were not? If not, let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we just thank you that as we come to this time, we don't have to ask for you to be among us. But we know that you were here. That we know that it was actually you who placed it in our hearts, invited us to come into this special time as we gather with the church to praise your name, to remember your love, to remember your forgiveness, to remember your faithfulness, to remember your callings, to be reminded of your goodness to us, your goodness that has sent us the blessings that we have enjoyed throughout life, and your blessings of your presence and your strength in those times when life has been hard, but you have always been present. We come praising you that though you are the God of all creation and you are the God of every minute particle to the most monumental thing that exists, you care about each individual that's in this room. So Lord, we just first want to praise your name, and as best as we are able, to glorify your name, to honor your name, to express our praise, thanksgiving, love, and adoration. And we thank you that as we do praise your name this morning and as we are reminded of who you are and whose we are, it's in that faith and that knowledge that we bring before you names that you already know, situations in which you are already active. You know our printed prayer list, every name on it. You know the names that we spoke aloud. You know still other situations upon our hearts. And Lord, we thank you that you care about each one. And not only are you the friend who cares, but you are the Almighty God who has the power to do something about each concern. And so, Lord, we just ask your healing touch upon each one. We thank you for those places where we praise your name for successful procedures and persons in better situations. And we ask that your healing touch be upon those who continue to struggle and who are looking at future treatments and recuperations. We pray your healing touch upon each, trusting them to your will and your wisdom. And Lord, as always, may we never forget to thank you for the freedom that is ours, a freedom that is only sought after in so many places around the world as our regular everyday life. But may we never take that for granted. May we never forget the privilege and the responsibility. And may we never forget those who have taken on that ultimate responsibility, some in military roles, others in civilian roles, but they stand in the gap between us and danger. May your protection be upon those who protect us. May your healing be upon the wounded, the visible and invisible wounds, and may your peace be upon the families whose loved ones gave it all. And Lord, we do thank you for the family of God, and particularly we thank you for the family of God at Walker Church. We experience your love through your Holy Spirit every time we come here. We experience your love through one another. and together we attempt to serve you and to be your disciples. We thank you that you have brought us together, and we pray that as you have blessed us, we might indeed be a blessing. And we ask that we will be we will be conscious of your presence with us in this coming week. Lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed, and bring us back together that we will worship you and encourage one another. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Excuse me. Before we enter into our next phase of worship, one prayer request that I failed to make, but please remember. Charles Sims was back in ER at Piedmont Hospital this morning in Athens for bleeding again. His blood count was real low, and he will probably be transferred to Emory later today. So please keep Mary and Charles in your prayers.
Our hymn of preparation is Sweet, Sweet Spirit. Let's stand as we sing.
Most gracious and loving Lord, we have brought back a portion of the gifts that you have first lavished upon us. We do pray your blessings to continue upon each gift and giver, and that you guide us as a congregation, that every penny that has been entrusted is used according to your will to further your kingdom in this community and throughout the world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
He was then with us. He is now with us. The Lord said he would be. It doesn't take very many. It can be just two or three. And I feel its kindred spirit that I've felt of times before. Surely I can say I've been with.
Scripture lesson this morning is about the day of Pentecost, found in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Then there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who were speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A young man came over from Kenya to do some graduate work at the University of Wyoming. In high school, he was taught that when he saw the initials AC, that meant alternating current, and you don't touch it. So He bought an American car, and he noticed that it had a button marked on it, AC. So he didn't dare touch it. So the family in the summertime would, you know, do the best they could do to stay cool while driving. You know, we've been there before. Fans, stopping, cold water, whatever you could do. And one day a friend rode with them, and she asked him why he didn't run the air conditioner, and he went on to explain that the car didn't have one. And so she pointed out, says, see that button right there? He said, yeah, it says AC, it's alternating current. If you touch it, things aren't going to turn out good. So she pressured and harassed, and he finally said, all right. He gave in and he mashed the button. And all of a sudden, this refreshing cool air comes out. His whole life changed at that point. Well, in order to experience this, two things had to happen. The air condition was there the whole time. It wasn't that he had to go out and put one in. It was there the whole time. But he also had to make a change because he had been taught AC meant one thing in Kenya, but it means something else in an American-made car. And so first he had to listen and he had to make a change that, okay, I'll tap this button here. And he had to obey the instruction of the lady, the friend, in order to access the air condition that was there the whole time. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's the celebration of the birthday of the church. It's the celebration of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the believers. At the conclusion of Luke, in Luke 24, verses 45 through 49, the author records Jesus opening the minds of the apostles so that they had learned now that everything that had been going on was actually part of God's plan. And then Jesus went on to tell them that the Holy Spirit was going to be sent. In some versions it says power from on high. But the apostles were waiting in Jerusalem until this occurred. Then in volume 2 of Luke's work, known as Acts, we have the account of the arrival of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And then reading the remainder of the book of Acts, we find that through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the apostles and the church were moved into all kinds of new directions. For example, we're quite familiar with the debate as to whether Gentiles could be Christians, though Christian was not employed at this point, but whether or not Gentiles could be part of the community of Jesus Christ, at that time called the community of the way. Now take note that God was at work and how the Holy Spirit led the apostles and the other disciples to blaze a trail so that the Gentiles were welcomed into the church. Trying to go through it real quickly, but to give you a thumbnail of how the Holy Spirit was at work, we have Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, the first Christian martyr, Stephen, is stoned to death. In that account, in Acts 7:58, we are told that the persecutors laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And then in chapter 8, verse 1, we read, and Saul was there giving approval to his death. Then we go to Acts chapter 9. We read of Saul's conversion. And of course, the church history better remembers him as Paul. Later in chapter 9, in verses 15 through 19, we read of Ananias being led by the Spirit to baptize Saul. And though he was scared for legitimate reasons, he obeys and he baptizes Saul, who becomes Paul. Stay with me now. Then we get to Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, you'll remember that Peter has this vision of the canopy letting down all of the animals when he was hungry one day, when he was waiting for lunch to get ready. And he has this vision And the vision, after a lot of discussion, leads Peter to meeting Cornelius, a Gentile, and Peter. Peter meets with Cornelius. And then in Acts chapter 11, Peter meets with the church council in Jerusalem, and Gentiles are accepted into the what we now call the church. Then in chapter 13, we read the beginning of Paul's first missionary journey, which was an evangelism to the Gentiles throughout Europe and Asia. You know, it's difficult for us Gentiles. You know, I say us Gentiles, just real quickly, in the biblical world, there are two groups of people. There are Jews and there are Gentiles. To my knowledge, all of us in this room fit to that second category. Well, in the biblical world, you had Jews, Gentiles, parentheses, unclean infidels. We're part of that parentheses. So it's difficult for us Gentiles now, 2,000 years removed, to comprehend how revolutionary and potentially contentious the Gentile question was. Jesus was the Messiah of the Jews. How can Gentiles, unclean infidels, share in the salvation of the Jewish Messiah? Yet the brief references mentioned just a moment ago shows how from day one, God was orchestrating his plan through the Holy Spirit to bring the Gentiles into the church, of which you and I are the happy recipients of. But that was a big change. A big change from the Messiah of the Jews to the Messiah of the Jews and the Gentiles. You know, you know of one of my allergies, my allergy to cold weather? Well, I also have another allergy. And it's just developed over the past few years. And if I'm not careful, this allergy inhibits my ability to be sensitive to the guiding of the Holy Spirit. And my guess is I'm not the only one with this common allergy. I know I'm not, because sadly, I must make a confession. I used to see people with this allergy and I laughed at them. I laughed at them big time. And when I wasn't laughing at people with this allergy, they aggravated me to no end. But somewhere along the way, after I turned 50, I developed the same allergy. I'm allergic to change. I came to a place where I wanted to be settled and comfortable. And once in that condition, I don't want anything disturbing my sense of contentment.
Amen, brother.
I was just about to ask, does anyone in this room have the same allergy?
True.
Now, realizing that I now deal with this allergy, I am forced to face an uncomfortable reality. It is quite possible that I have become so allergic to change that I am not open to the Holy Spirit, because so often the Holy Spirit means change. I bet some of you resemble that remark.
Yes.
We're not bad people. We're not rebellious people. We hope we are good Christian people. Now, many of you have dealt with more life than I have, although my experience is starting to add up. But many of you have dealt with more of life than I have. And we have just come to the place now that we have dealt with life. And if we can get comfortable and content, we just soon not rock the boat. On the one hand, we desire to grow and thrive in our walk with Christ. On the one hand, we desire to grow and thrive as a congregation of Christ's church. But on the other hand, we don't want anyone or anything shaking anything up. Now notice, I keep saying we. I have not said you yet. I keep saying we. I remember serving a congregation in South Fulton County. We had a range of ages in the congregation. And we, at that time, we were doing well. But we were standing right on that high wire that if we leaned one way, we would grow. If we leaned the other way, we would decline. And I taught the senior adult Sunday school class. Now, one thing I really enjoyed, now it put me in kind of a rush on Sunday morning, but one thing I really enjoyed about teaching the senior adult Sunday school class, you know, they were the people who carried the power. And I could say things in that Sunday school class that I never could get away with in a meeting where decisions were going to be made. And so one morning during Sunday school, the side conversation came around to that old conversation. We need more young people in the church, and the ones that are here need to start taking on more responsibility. Again, this was not the administrative council meeting. This was in Sunday school. You can get away with a lot more things. I said, well, can I ask you a question? And they said, sure. I said, don't you mean you want more young people and more young people in responsibility as long as they continue to do things your way? Just like now. Silence. Faces kind of turn white. Then they started getting this little sheepish grin. And they went, well, yes. Now before somebody gets nervous, I don't have any agendas this morning. I don't have any changes at this point in mind. So don't anybody get nervous thinking this is a sales pitch veiled in the form of a sermon. Not that that's ever happened before. But I do feel led to put before us some considerations. If individually you start feeling a nudge toward a ministry you've never considered before, or you start feeling a tug toward a ministry that you have been scared to pursue or you feel inadequate to pursue, are you willing to rock your boat, take a leap of faith, and pursue it? Are you willing to become unsettled in order to fulfill your calling? What if the Holy Spirit started nudging us as a congregation? And you know, sometimes we want to get too biblically imaged in how we feel like the Holy Spirit speaks to us. But sometimes in the church, the way the Holy Spirit will start an idea flowing, somebody will say, I've been wondering, what if? And then we pursue the conversation, seeing where the Spirit takes it. If the Holy Spirit starts nudging us as a conversation into some what ifs, saying that we would have the opportunity to grow and we'll have the opportunity to thrive, but to grow and to thrive, we're going to have to make some changes, not in message, but in method. Are we willing? Are we willing? Are we willing to shake up the boat? Are we willing to rock the boat in order to grow and thrive if the Holy Spirit was to so lead? Such are not hypothetical thoughts. They are true possibilities. And quite honestly, when the Holy Spirit leads into new or uncharted territory, whether it's an individual level or a congregational concern, it is scary. But it's in the obeying of the leading of the Spirit and the guiding of the Spirit that we experience the power of the Spirit. The late A.W. Tozer expressed his concern that there was so much prayer for revival in the church, but so little revival. He stated, and I quote, "I believe the problem is that we've been trying to substitute praying for obeying, and it simply won't work." End quote. By the way, A.W. Tozer died in 1963. Well, what's the significance of that? The church was a whole lot stronger pre-1963 than it is today. And still, he said, prayer cannot be a substitute for obedience. Now, the point, of course we pray. Last week, I pushed that point. That if we're going to be the people and the church that God has called us to be, we're going to be individuals of prayer. We're going to be a church of prayer. I push that. I believe that. But prayer is not primarily seeking God's blessing on our idea. It is not seeking God's blessing on our plan. Prayer is saying, Lord, you know, in cases where we're praying for a loved one, you know what I want and I'm asking you for it. But I'm trusting your will and your wisdom. In pursuits as individuals, it's not, Lord, this is what I've decided I wanted to do. This is my plan. Now I need your blessing on it and I need you to work things out. Not that any of you have ever prayed a prayer like that. Not that I ever have. Prayer is, Lord, where do you want me to be? Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, who do you want me to be? And would you make that clear to me? And then when we're clear together on who, what, and where you want me to be, would you empower me to fulfill that? Because you see, the Holy Spirit, when you go back and read in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit never called an apostle to do something that the Holy Spirit didn't empower that apostle to do. As a congregation, it's not, Lord, you know what we want to be, so this is what we've decided we want to be. This is the version of us that we would like to see, so now we want you to bless that and make that happen for us. It's, Lord, you know where you want Walker to be at this point in our history. Lord, you know what you want Walker to do in the midst of the opportunities and challenges of Greene and Putnam counties at this time. Lord, you know what you want Walker to do. Would you make that clear to us? And then when you make that clear to us, would you give us the means and the abilities to reach that? In short, prayer is getting on the same page with God. And through getting on the same page with God, when we know what page God wants us on, we obey God by going to that page. So I invite you to read the book of Acts. You'll find that every time the Spirit led, the Spirit empowered. The most known example that I would point out this morning is in the last half of Acts chapter 2 and following. You remember Peter. Remember the night before the crucifixion? Peter denies that he even knows who Jesus is, much less having ever associated with him. After the bestowing of the Holy Spirit and Peter's being empowered by the Holy Spirit, after obeying the Holy Spirit, Peter not only preaches his most famous sermon in Acts chapter 2, but we find Peter has been arrested. And he's standing before the Sanhedrin, who, from a human perspective, has the ability to either let him go or to execute him. And you find that this same person who once shook in his boots and freaked and panicked is now boldly proclaiming the word of God before the Sanhedrin, who could have him killed. And then church tradition tells us that Peter ultimately did have the courage to die a martyr's death. When the Spirit leads, the Spirit empowers. I once attended a seminar entitled Acts 29. What's the significance of that title? Acts only has 28 chapters. We are chapter 29. We are living out Acts 29. The Holy Spirit is still leading. The Holy Spirit is still empowering. The Holy Spirit is still making a difference through obedient Christians. We are living out Acts 29. So I pray that we all, individually and as a congregation, will be open to the leading, the guidance, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, you know us human beings. Most of us don't like change. Most of us don't like our picture of things being shook up. Most of us want to find a place of contentment and rest there. The one leading this prayer among them. Yeah, Lord, thank you for showing us in the book of Acts, in particular, that when your Holy Spirit moves and your people obey, powerful things happen. And so, Lord, I just pray for all of us, wherever we are in our journey and our walk with you this morning, that we would come to a place where we would trust you enough that we would be open to the leading of your Holy Spirit, even if that means shaking up our world, so that you might use us to make a difference in your kingdom. I pray the same thing for us at Walker Church. Lord, you know where you want us to be. Maybe we are where you want us to be right now, but then again, you may be saying, wake up, Walker. Only you know that. Lord, speak to your people. Help us to look at the what ifs and see if your Spirit is leading us. And if we as a church body agree that your Spirit may be leading us in a certain direction, but that direction is scary, Lord, we depend on you to give us the means, the power, and the ability to fulfill that call. So gracious Lord, thank you for the abiding of your Holy Spirit with each individual in this room and with us as a congregation. May we be open to your leading, your guiding, your power. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our final hymn is He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought. Let's stand as we sing. Thank you.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.